Amen. Good to see you this morning. Some of y'all received an email this past week from me telling you what I was going to preach on. And maybe some of your wives picked up on that email and said, honey, I want you to read that passage over in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter 3, and focus on verse 7. In fact, meditate on it, okay? Just meditate. Hover right over there on verse 7. And so that's where we're going to be today. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to each of you ladies. I know that this is a special day. We honor our moms, and we certainly we honor our wives as well today, because this is a day we set aside, and I know it's traditional, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing which forbids it. Certainly, we ought to honor one another, and when that honor is appropriate, and Mother's Day is a good day to do that. Well, ladies, I want you to kick back and sit back in your spiritual lazy boy today. This is your day. That's right. This message is not really for, it's for you, but you know, you're going to say, boy, I'm glad he's talking about that today, okay? So I want you to kick back and I want you to listen, and no jabbing your husband like this. You know, it's your expressions. I mean, just be careful, okay? But I want you to listen. I think this message will be helpful to your marriage, helpful to your relationship with your husband. At least I hope it will be. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It's one of those passages that when you read, Peter helps us to understand that vital relationship men were to have with our wives and how we're to honor them and how to do that in a godly and Christ-like fashion. You know, this passage of Scripture is a foundational passage to the home. In fact, if your Christianity isn't working at home, it's just not working. That's the reality of it. I love what Howard Hendricks says about that. The reality is that our faith, gentlemen, when it's at work, it's going to work, first of all, in our lives, and it's then going to work in our homes. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be real there. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that putting this into practice is going to be, you know, as simple as 1, 2, 3. No, it's not going to be, because we realize that we're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. The Christian home is under attack. Now, that's not a surprise to you. You've sensed some of that. You've probably experienced some of that. I mean, you've encountered the reality, the danger that the family is in today. When Peter wrote this passage of Scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he did so because there was a world that he lived in which the woman in the house was really not exalted. She was not really valued. Truth of the matter is, in that Greco-Roman empire, the women were, well, you know, in most situations were not highly valued people. In some cases, they were no more than just a tool and just an instrument to be used for whatever purposes needed to be used. Certainly, there was the woman in the house for some who helped to provide offspring, and then there was the woman who they had on the side, okay? And so women were not highly viewed in that day and time, and truth of the matter is that when you take Christ out of the center of any relationship, it begins to fall apart. Even today, in the great movement that we've seen, quote, for women's rights in our country in the last 30, 40 years, the truth of the matter is that you don't really understand the role of the woman until you come to faith in Christ. A secularist today would simply say that, you know, a woman, she has, you know, she's capable of doing many things, and certainly she is. There's no intellectual inferiority with a woman. There's no emotional inferiority with a woman. Now, I think Peter's going to talk about the physiological differences that exist. I mean, go figure, right? Have we not figured that one out by now? That's true, and he's going to acknowledge that. But the truth is that even in our secular age today, in which women are been given, quote, all these rights, and they're encouraged to grasp, get a hold of those rights, is that we've never seen more pornography in this day and time than we've seen. I mean, it's unbelievable. Women are dehumanized in our culture. You see, a culture apart from Christ is one that begins to use women, abuse women. You look around. And those sophisticated minds, they say they're sophisticated minds, this highly intellectual environment that we live in, we're seeing more abuses of women than I certainly can ever recall, and that I think really when you look at history, in this age that we live in, women are being undervalued to say the least. Even when you look at the religious viewpoints that people have concerning women, you find that in Islam and in other religions that women are really second-class citizens at best. only in Christianity do you find the rightful place of a woman who's seen as an equal with men and is also seen as a joint heirs with Christ. Now, this is what Peter is talking about here when you look at what he says in verse 7. Now, we're just going to look at one verse, but we'll need enough time to do that, okay? Verse 7, he says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, in order that your prayers would not be hindered." In order that your prayers would not be hindered. Now, when we get to that last point, it's important. But Peter says that, likewise, husbands, you're to do this. Six verses written to the women, particularly women who have husbands who do not know the Lord and do not follow after the Lord. Here's some advice for you. You want to read that, ladies? Verses 1 through 6. This is a prescription for you to look at and say, how do I live my life in a godly fashion in such a way that will be convincing evidence of the presence of God in my life and will persuade him without badgering him and preaching sermons to him, okay? Because, you know, they'll say that. I don't want to hear your sermons. I don't want to talk about that. So that's the first six verses. Now you can kick back and listen to verse 7, right? Okay, so what is this talking about, men? How could we honor our wives? How could we love our child's mother? How do we do that? First of all, we need to exemplify commitment. I think in one word, we have this notion of commitment. He says, likewise, husbands. Husbands, not partners, not people living together, husbands, the one who made a commitment to his wife, the one who understands the nature of relationship, husbands. You know, Wikipedia defines a husband as the male participant in a marriage. That's a little sterile, isn't it? You men are male participants in the marriage. There's more to it, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's probably good that we state that because, you know, as men, as husbands, you are the male participant. Yes, that's true. I mean, we ought to at least get that part of it right. But isn't it much more than that? I mean, come on. You're the one who made a commitment. That's right. You made a commitment and you're defying the odds. I mean, you said before God and man that you were willing to give your life for your wife. Now, I know that some of you stood there at the altar. You don't remember what you said. Yeah, I mean, you don't. And I can remember when we got married almost 25 years ago, August 2nd, 1986. I remember the date. Do you? Come on, do you? Come on, guys, do you? All right, I remember that, okay? But I also remember I don't remember saying anything other than the video shows my expression. I'm standing there like a wooden soldier, you know, in a white tux, you know, standing there, and I'm just sweating profusely. It's just like, what have I gotten myself into? And she was thinking the same, I'm sure. You know, what has happened here? We don't really remember what we said, but let me remind you, okay, for the better or the worse part of it, you know. That's what we committed to. We committed to that lady right in front of us. We said, we are going to honor you. We made a commitment. And so if you're going to love your child's mother the right way, if you're going to love your wife the right way, you have to exemplify commitment. You have to stand up and be counted as a man. You are a married man. You've been taken out of circulation, okay? You following me here? You should have eyes for no other person, okay? And by the way, guys, you know where those eyes go is a very important thing. It says a lot about your commitment to your wife. All right? So you need to exemplify commitment. You are a husband. You are a committed man. You're not a live-in. You're not a partner. You're not just shacking up as folks used to say. You know, you shouldn't shack up, right? Well, that's sort of sound crude, but maybe we need to use it again. It's true. I mean, you have decided that you're going to enter into a relationship with your wife that is more than just saying, well, hey, we'll live together for a while and see if it works out. Now, listen, I don't have to quote the Bible on this, although the Bible gives us great foundation for the spiritual relationships, husband and wife and with our children and all that. That's true. But the stats are in. The evidence is in. Living together doesn't work. It doesn't. It just doesn't work. In fact, let me just say to any lady who has some guy that approaches her, and maybe you're a single person, you're thinking, well, you know, this guy, man, he says he really likes me, and now, and you know, man, he's even said he loves me now. Yeah, that's good. And but now he's pushing into something that I'm not comfortable with, and this whole living together before we, I want a better commitment, a bigger commitment than that. You're right. Stay there, ladies. Don't give in. If he's not willing to make a commitment like that, you know what you need to do? You need to boot him to the street. He said, but you don't know my, you know, I don't want to lose. Lose him. I mean, this is like a stray cat. Drop him off somewhere, you know. Not over there, you know. If he's not willing to make a commitment to you, come on. What kind of man is he? He needs to man up and realize if he's going to make, listen, he needs to make the commitment. That's what it needs to do. If he can't make the commitment, well then, hey, then that's a sign from God if you're looking for one, right? You don't need a billboard out on 69. That's the sign that you were looking for. You were praying for, oh, God, show me a sign. Yeah, that's it. He didn't want to make a commitment. Well, then boot him to the street, all right? A husband is a married man. Now, back to marriage, right? A husband is a married man. But I want you to see something else. Not only is he a married man, he's one who's committed to you, ladies, but you need to understand that in your relationship with your wife, it must be the priority of any other human relationship. It's just got to be. You cannot allow anyone, anything, your career, your job, your friends, even family to interrupt the relationship that you have with your wife. You just can't do it. If you want to honor her, listen, then you have to forge a relationship. And listen, you can't even allow your children to get in the way. That's right. Because, you know, it was the two of you first. Remember that? Do you remember that? Some of you, you're in the empty nest part of your life, you know, we're there. And you're working through that, and you're rediscovering one another, and you're going back to the years before you had children, really, because now they're not living with you anymore, and you're going through that experience, and you have to realize that it was the two of you who began this, even before the children came along, the two of you. So you make a commitment. Nobody should get in the way of that relationship. So the first thing is exemplify commitment in your relationship to your wife. The second thing is enjoy her companionship. Enjoy her companionship. Now notice what Peter says. He says, husbands, dwell with them. Dwell with them. This word, the basic idea of this word is the shaping of a house together, okay? It's a cooperative effort. Man, you truly are a homemaker if you understand this word, okay? You are building a home, not just a house. You're doing something together. It takes the two of you to do this. And the Bible says that you must dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Now, it's in the present tense, which means that, hey, listen, it's something that's ongoing. It's not just something that you once did. It's something that's ongoing and that should continue to characterize your relationship. Now, if it doesn't, what's going to happen is you're going to need some repair done to your relationship. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you simply need to go to your wife and confess to her, or acknowledge to her that, hey, you know, I've really fallen short. You don't have to say you want to man up, but you know, for us guys, you can, you know, we know what you're talking about. But you say, listen, I want to be more the leader I need to be in our home. Okay, I want to dwell with you. It's an active voice. It's not a passive thing. It's something you engage in. It's not something that she does for you. Listen, this is something you have to do. You have to be the lead. You have to put the first foot forward. You have to engage her. It has to be active. It has to be something that you're thinking about. It has to be something that is not an afterthought. Most of our wives appreciate things that are thoughtful, don't they? Have you learned anything in marriage yet? Then you've learned. You've learned that if you're not thoughtful, then it doesn't get the same amount of points, right? Are you with me on this? Now, women are more thoughtful, and especially like buying cards. I'm terrible at buying cards. I'm going to admit it. But like my wife, she can go in, and she wants to read all the cards. And she's here, and I can say this is true. She's a reader, wants to read all the cards because she wants to get the one that's just perfect, not just for me, but like perfect for me in the right situation and, you know, like every little detail. And I appreciate that. I really do. Me, man, when I go in to get a card, I mean, there's like hundreds of them. This is, guys, I see you out there too. And I hone in on one from a distance. And I can get there, and I can feel inspired to grab the first one. I know they're all well written, so I'm sure this one's going to be great too. And I'm just inspired. I mean, that's just, you know, she knows I'm not the best about this. You know, it's I'm working on it. But what it doesn't count for the same, does it? If it's not thoughtful, then it doesn't get the same points. And we all know, men, that point system is important, right? Okay. All right, ladies. Just jab them a little. No, I told you not to do that. So enjoy her companionship. You got to be with her. Many marriages are suffering from a lack of togetherness. It says dwell. It's in the imperative. This is not a suggestion. Okay? This is not an idea that I'm giving you. This is not like a little sermonette and I'm, you know, working a little psychological angle on you and trying to do a little, you know, a little helpful thing to you. This is the imperative. If you want it to work, you have to do this, okay? That's how it works. Which, you know, I know this past weekend we were gone, and y'all had given us last year for our anniversary, you'd given us a little bed and breakfast certificate, and we went out around New Braunfels, and, you know, some of y'all have been out there. It's a fun time. But, you know, if you're going to be in New Braunfels around San Marcos, well, ladies, you know, there's the outlet mall, right? Right? And it's a fun thing. Now we all shop differently, and dwelling with them means that you're interested in the things that they're interested in. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Well, I mean, come on, how can they be interested in hunting? You know, shooting an animal and gutting it? But some of you guys expect her to be interested in that, or fishing, or, I mean, she even went along for a few trips on it, but, you know, she was sensitive to your need, and now you're sensitive to hers, and so we're out there at San Marcos. Now, there are certain things that my wife does that I'm not invited to participate in. I can go shopping, but there are certain stores I don't get to go into, okay? In fact, she doesn't want me in those stores with her. So what I told her, I knew that. See, I had it going on. I knew that. And so we pull up to the mall, and I told her, I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, honey. I'm going to sit right here. I had a book in my pocket right here, see? Yeah. And so I won't tell you the title of it because it might frighten you. But anyway, so I dropped her. I said, listen, what you want to do is you just begin shopping. What store? I drove her around the mall and said, whichever ones you want to go to. And I dropped her off right there. I said, I'll pick you up down the way. You just let me know. So I drive the car down there, pick her up, take her to the next store. You know, until we got to the Bose store. Then I got out. And because, you know, the electronics store, the guys always have to go into, right? And, you know, I know that about her. She doesn't want me walking with her through certain stores. She doesn't feel like she can shop with me there. She just wants the credit card, and she wants to be, no. No, she's not a material woman at all. But you know, you got to get to know them, right? Isn't that what he's saying? He's dwell with them according to knowledge. How do you do that? You got to enjoy. We enjoy doing things together, but it's something you learn. If you're so disconnected, I mean, if you're communicating with one another in the same house through text messaging, you got a relationship problem. Okay. I mean, if you're sending emails to one another, you know, have you ever done that? Some of y'all did, because that's why you laughed. You know, sort of like, well, they're on the other side of the house, but I mean, you text them, right? That's not good communication on a regular basis. That is, and so if your marriage is suffering, it may be suffering because you're really not living together in the purest sense of that word. You're not dwelling with your wife. You're not really honoring her as you need to honor her. And the only way that you can do that is by spending time. So you need to, when you come home, listen, you need to take time with your wife. You need to figure this out. You need to understand that it's imperative that if you're going to have any kind of intimate relationship, that you're communicating with her. That's how you can honor her. She will appreciate it. You know how you do that, guys? You put down the paper and you look at her eyeball to eyeball. When she says something to you, you're looking at her. You ever talk to people who don't look at you? Doesn't that make you feel weird? There's something wrong when someone won't look you in the eye. Is there something wrong? And if they're all, you know, what if I did that the whole sermon? Never, just did this, you know? Just, you wouldn't you feel uncomfortable? You would feel weird. And she does too. Can I just hone in right here? Just look at me. It might do, before she grabs your face and says, will you look at me? You might try this one. Try it. I mean, and if you'll concentrate on what she's saying and focus on that, it's important. She's saying it. She says, well, you know, that's the way she feels. And so you say, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with it. I know you don't have to agree with it. You better start feeling it though, okay? Because if you don't, you're going to lose points. That's what's going to happen. You need to concentrate. dwelling. I'm having a little fun with this. Are you okay with that this morning? It's Mother's Day. I don't want to be too heavy, except for on the men, right? And the ladies are saying, that's good. I want them to get a strong dose of that. I love my husband, as you're saying that. But I love him more when he starts to do what the Word of God says, right? I mean, I appreciate him more when he starts to do what God's Word says. The third thing, very quickly, engage in communication. We've been talking about that. But he says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with them according to knowledge. There's some things you know about, there's some things you understand, right? Do you have a Blu-ray player? It may be sitting right over there, or maybe some of y'all are still back in the DVD, VCR era, okay, and you have that sitting over there, and you don't even know how to operate it. I mean, you know about it, but you don't really understand it, do you, okay? Like some of you with text messaging or something like that. You know about it, but you don't understand it. I mean, you know about her. I mean, you've been living in the same house together for, well, how long? But do you really know her? Do you? Are you dwelling with her according to knowledge? Now, there are a couple ideas associated with the word knowledge here. One is, maybe what Peter is talking about is dwelling with her according to a knowledge which is comprised of the knowledge of the will of God, the will of God for your relationship. I certainly wouldn't disagree with that interpretation, but I think in light of the context, he's talking about knowledge concerning your wife. What makes her tick? What actually, you know, what are her feelings? What are her interests? And you just get to know her. You're in tune with what's going on in her life. If you're not interested in her, unfortunately, somebody may become interested and it may cause a problem. Now, we don't want to really go there this morning because it's Happy Mother's Day, right? But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Understand? So you better give her the attention that she needs because you need to be in tune with that. You need to know her desires. You need to understand those things. Understand who she is. He said, well, how can you understand? Who can understand women? Well, you don't have to understand them all. You just need to work on one. That's it. One, the one that you have, okay? You don't have to understand. And listen, sometimes it's like the peace of God which passes understanding. There's a level in which you can achieve in a relationship in which you don't know, but you do know. And that's how it is in marriage sometimes. Sometimes you don't know, but you do know, okay? You know what I mean? And so you just need to live. And listen, that's how you need to live with your wife. And so understanding who she is, being sensitive. Marriage requires some sensitivity on our part, men, that oftentimes we lack in and we don't plan for. Speaking of planning, you know, planning, sort of a planned spontaneity is they want you to do something, you want it to be an advanced thinking, but they want it to be spontaneous. It's a understanding who she is and doing those things which encourage her in her walk with the Lord and her relationship with you. Sensitivity, it grows out of communication. Then the last thing I want us to look at this morning is that it not only engaging in communication, and by the way, ladies, I know some of you are single moms and single ladies here, these are great criterion to use if you're checking somebody out and he's visiting with you and maybe he's asked you out and you're getting to know him. Look at it. Is he interested? Is he gonna be committed to you? Is he willing to make those commitments? Is he interested in you, in companionship, and not, you know, all the other things, you know, okay? Is he willing to commit to you? And then is he willing to engage you in communication? Does he really enjoy being with you, you know, and really spending time interested in you and what makes you the person that you are? And then lastly, is he willing to give you honor? Is he willing to give you honor? Now, men, we need to do this for our wives. What does he say in verse 7? Giving honor to the wife, once again, it's a present tense, active, imperative, participle. You say, well, I didn't come for grammar. No, you didn't, but let me just give this to you anyways, okay? It means right now, you need to make this your focus. It needs to be your focus, not anybody else's focus. It needs to be yours, actively involved in it, right? You follow me? That's what it means to be an active. It's an imperative, so it's not a suggestion. Giving honor to your wife. Now, a dinner would be wonderful, and cooking for her would be great. Cleaning the house would even be better on a regular basis, right? Oh, yeah, amen. Yeah. He said, well, I don't know about that whole cleaning the house. I'm not a domesticated man. Well, I suggest you start getting domesticated. I mean, do you want to bless her? You want to earn some points? Buddy, clean the house. He said, well, I'm willing to die for my wife. She just wants you to take the garbage out, you know? She doesn't need you dead. She needs you alive. Just die to yourself. Okay? I don't know. Maybe you've got a good insurance policy. Oh, boy. Well, listen, truth of the matter is you need to be actively involved in your wife's life, okay? You got to honor her. A card is wonderful, certainly. Having your children, encourage them to do the same thing. Doing all that you can to give honor, to ascribe worth to her. What does he say? Giving honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel. Weaker in what sense? Intellectually? No. Emotionally? No. He's talking about physiologically. There's a basic difference between a man and a woman. There's just a difference. I don't think I have to explain that to most of us that are, you know, beyond, you know, toddler age. There's a basic difference. And that difference is not a design flaw. It's the uniqueness of the person that God created for us and us for them. And so this is not a design flaw at all. And so we're not to take advantage of the difference. We are to, ultimately, we are to care for her and realize that there is a basic physiological difference. I mean, there just is. And so you recognize that she is a woman of worth, of value, and you understand that she is to be protected and to be cared for. Most women want to know this in a relationship. There are a lot of things you might not be able to provide, money being one and all the material things, okay? But if you can provide a sense of security in the relationship, you've done a great thing as a husband to make her feel at ease. You know how you know when she's at ease? When she's sitting at work or at home, wherever she may be, which is a lot of work at home, if she's a homemaker, and she's sitting there and she's not wondering about what you're doing. Okay, she's not concerned about your behavior and what you're doing, whether you're at the camp with the boys, and you know boys can be boys, and she doesn't have to be concerned about that. Whether you're off on a trip and you're not with her and you're traveling abroad, and she doesn't, if she's not worried about that, then you've done a good job making her feel secure, sense that, hey, he's committed to me. Whatever else might be said is that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ more than me, which means that the Lord is going to control him, and he's going to follow the Lord. You'll make her feel secure if you'll do that. Now, if you can't do that, what you'll do is she'll be insecure, and she'll doubt what you say, wonder what you're writing, and and sometimes even when you try to make women feel secure, sometimes that's a difficult thing. Now, you don't have to make women, but you need to make your wife feel secure. But you know what I'm saying? If you do this, and sometimes they're still working through issues, okay? That's a part of knowing her. Who knows? Maybe something that happened earlier on in her life. There's a lot of reasons, okay? We can't get into the whole issues that can go on here, but she may have come out of a relationship, and that's what happened. You know, the first guy that she was married to was unfaithful, and so you know now she's married to you now, and you haven't been there a long time yet. So you just got to give her some time, and you need to work through that. Realize that. Don't give up on it. Honor her. Realize that. And realize that God has made her as a woman. This is not a design flaw. This is a wonderful thing. It's a matter of the beautiful design of the Lord. Now, you respect her as a woman, but let me tell you, he's saying here, specifically, you give honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. So what does that mean? She's not just a woman. She is your wife. She is a Christian woman. She's a Christian lady. And she is joint heirs. In other words, what Peter is saying is that when you walk into heaven, it's not like she's going to walk in three steps behind you, okay? Are you with me on this? My grandmother, and a little bit of a cultural thing, many of you know that I'm half Puerto Rican, and having spent some time in Puerto Rico when I was little, my grandmother would teach us how to escort, and we would escort, you know, a little man, you know, her grandson, and escort her, you know, always step closest to the road, and escort her, and she says, and the woman, get this, ladies, you aren't going to appreciate this, she said, the woman should always walk just slightly behind the man. She's sort of old school, but she did that in a way she felt like honoring, you know, her husband. She said, but you walk on the outside closer to where the vehicles are driving and so forth and so on. Listen, men, when we get to heaven, she's not walking right behind us to get in, okay? She is a joint heir with Christ, okay? That's who she is. She is to be exalted as that. We are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You honor her that way. You recognize that God uses her and can use her in mighty ways, and that he is going to use her to raise your children. So you'd better encourage her. And encourage her in such a way that when there are times when she's spent herself working all day long in the home, that she's valued and appreciated. She is doing kingdom work there at your house all day long when you've been at work and you think she's been doing something else. When you don't respect what she was doing. I tell you what, I had an experience in my home when we had a little discussion. Now, that's just code for a disagreement or argument, okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And Kyle, originally, I don't owe you any more money, son, but Kyle originally, he said, you know, he was always quick to identify we were not having a discussion, it was an argument. And it was one of those times, okay? And I made this off-the-cuff remark about how that cooking in a crock pot wasn't really cooking. Oh, it was like throwing fuel on the fire. This was a disaster. That wasn't cooking. Well, you can only imagine what happened. Oh, it's cooking, buddy. It's gourmet cooking. I've come to understand it. I mean, you know, putting that food in the crock pot. I mean, she had to go out and slay that animal. No. But she did have to go to the grocery store and think of it in advance and make sure that all the ingredients were there, and to wake up a dish, you know, early because she gets to work. She's a school teacher, and she gets to work by 7:15 in the morning. So, man, she already has all this up. We still had kids, you know, living in the house. Well, Tanner's still here, so I guess he's. But we had both of them still living at the house as little bitty guys, and she's doing all that, and it's chaotic. Getting them off to school, and I said, it wasn't really cooking. Boy, did I lose points. I mean, I went in the hole for a long time. It's gourmet cooking, and let me tell you, she can make some mean baby back ribs in the crock pot today, I can honestly confess. Well, listen, I got in hot water, and I'm trying my best to make it as best as I can, all right? Listen, guys, some of us need to do the same thing. The way that you do that is by stepping back, taking a deep breath, and saying, you know, this woman that the Lord gave me, this woman that I'm married to at this time, this moment, she is a joint heir with Christ. Now, why is this all important? Because, gentlemen, if you don't do what this scripture is saying, the Bible says that there is a definite relationship between your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with your wife, so that when you go to pray, what's going to happen is this, that your prayers are going to be hindered. You do it in order that your prayers won't be hindered. The spiritual vitality of your relationship with your wife is going to affect your relationship with the Lord. So you can pretend all you want and try to get all spiritual like a young preacher like I was in Merritt, Texas, and I could jump from the roof of the parsonage to the roof of the church and get in a, this is confession time, and I'm just looking for yours too after church, all right? So, we have one of those other discussions. And I go over to the parsonage, and I think I've told you this story before, and I sat over there studying the Word of God, being the pastor, spiritual man, trying to do all these things. And I read 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 and realize, you know, whatever else this says, I need to go back home and tell my wife I'm sorry for what I've said and done. And I just closed up my office and went back next door and said, you know, I am so sorry. You know why? Because I honor her, but also because I honor my God. And that's where that motivation comes from. I want you to be motivated from the deepest sense of what, of where you should be motivated from. And I honor my God by honoring my wife. And if I do that, then my prayers, boy, they make it right through the roof. But if I don't, there's just a snag there, isn't there? So my spiritual walk, and listen, my Christianity doesn't work at home, it's not working. You say, well, it hasn't been working. Well, then step back, inventory, take a look at your life. And some of you are saying, well, listen, I'm looking forward to this whole marriage thing. And these are some things that I really could look at as a way of examining my life and examining the person that may be coming to talk to me. These are all important things. All these are important because if you put them into play, if you put them into practice, they will change your relationship with your wife. And by the way, it's Mother's Day, right? Why not honor her with the gift of a new you? A new you that is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that it transforms the relationships around you. You do that, and it will change. It'll change you, but it'll change the persons around you as well. Now, I want to follow. It's nothing real serious, but I mean, it's called The Seven Ages of the Marriage Cold. Have you heard this one before? The seven Ages of the Married Cold. It reveals the reaction of a husband to his wife's colds during 7 years of marriage. Now, follow this. This is the first year. Sugar dumpling, I'm worried about my baby girl. You've got a bad sniffle, and there's no telling about these things with all the strep going around. I'm putting you in the hospital this afternoon for a general checkup and good rest. I know the food's lousy at the hospital, and so I have ordered out your meals from Rosini's. I've already got it arranged for you. First year. Second year. Listen, darling, I don't like the sound of that cough. I've called Doc Miller to rush over here. Now, you go to bed like a good girl, please, just for Papa. Third year. Maybe you'd better lie down, honey. Nothing like a little rest when you feel bad. I'll bring you something to eat. Do we have any soup? Fourth year. Look, dear, be sensible. After you feed the kids and get the dishes washed, you'd better hit the sack. Fifth year. Why don't you get yourself a couple of aspirin? Sixth year. If you just gargle or something instead of sitting around barking like a seal. Seventh year. For Pete's sake, stop sneezing. What you trying to do? Give me pneumonia? And after the late service, someone came up to me and said, I noticed there wasn't an eighth year. And that was better than the whole deal. I thought, that's good. You know, we've had some fun this morning. God's word is so alive, isn't it? And guys, if we'll just take this and we will apply the wisdom of the ages personified in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the wisdom and the truth of God surfaces in the written word like that, it emerges from the heart of a living and loving God who chooses to reveal himself to us so that we might know him. That's the story of the Christian life, isn't it? And men, the Lord is trying to show himself to us today. And into all of us, the truth of the matter is that we need Jesus more than we've ever needed him before. I'd like to close the service in this way. I'd like to pray for you and your family. It's Mother's Day, and I know you have plans and things that you're doing this afternoon. We'll be available to talk with you after the service and to visit with you about decisions. And let me tell you guys, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, would you come and grab one of us and say, right now, I want to do that. In fact, I just believe that in the process of coming, you'll be surprised what God will do just in the process itself. Come and be with us, talk with us. And you leave this place just shortly to be able to say, listen, I bought you these things, but really, I want you to know that my greatest gift to you today is a gift of my heart given to Jesus first, and I've done that today. That's a gift. I don't want to sound corny, but it could really transform your marriage. Can I pray for you and ask God's blessing on your marriage, your family? Pray for some of you who are single that are looking for God to bring the right person into your life. I really believe that as well. And for some of you teenagers, just God is preparing your hearts for those for that day. Father God, I ask for your blessing upon each hearer this morning. We've heard this message. Lord God, we've read your word. We've meditated on this passage of scripture, and we pray that you'll bring the truth and the life of it to light in each of our lives. I pray for Christian homes. Lord, for moms and dads, husbands and wives to be the kind of people that you called them to be. Lord, to operate under the filling of your spirit so that there is this yielding to one another, this submitting to one another that occurs. I pray, Father, that men will lay down their lives for their wives, for their children. Lord God, for their family. That they realize how precious it is to have this joy in their life and the person that you've brought there. Lord, for their wives, for God, for the joy that they bring. And Father, I ask your blessing there, and I pray, Father, for wives, that they'll be patient and Lord, they would grow in wisdom and strength and know, praying for their husbands and for their family, that God, that you'll give them a Christian, a virtue that goes well beyond a sermon, but is lived out, that they are adorned and made up as godly women, Lord, that this is the kind of women that that they are becoming, that are representative of your kingdom here on earth. Father, I pray for singles in our church that, Lord, that you will bring into their lives, Lord, those people, Lord God, that exemplify the characteristics that we talked about this morning. For ladies that are, Lord God, they've been waiting on you, that you'll bring that man who is a godly man, who stayed the course. He's a stand-up guy that knows you and knows the direction, that sense of destiny about his life, and recognizes, Lord, the value of who you are in their life, as well as the value of, Lord God, this lady in their life now. Lord, just you bring, Lord God, bring that together in a way that honors you. Bless them. Give them staying and waiting power to do so. And I pray for our teenagers, as they are developing in their own mind, from what they see in our homes, from what they've seen in the world, Lord God, they're developing an idea, an image of someone that they'll spend their life with. I pray that as they develop this, they will develop it from your word, and that they will know that you have certain characteristics of what a godly man, a godly woman should be, and that they would wait until that time occurs, Lord God, in their life, when they see that person and they're able to identify that spiritual quality of their life. So give them, Lord, not only the right vision of what a mate should look like, but also, God, that they would find the source of that vision in your word and know that it will care for them and give them guidance in every other aspect of their lives. Lord, this is the blessing that I'm asking for each person here today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.